Sanskara yatra vichinaha. Sadvijo jo jagadayam. Ijjadhyayanadhanani. Vihitani dvijanama. Janma karma vadhatana. Kriyascha shamachoditaha. Sanskaraha. Reformatory processes. Yatra. Wherein. Avichchinaha. Without interruption. Saha. Such a person. Dvijaha. Twice born. Ajaha. Lord Brahma. Jagada. Sanctioned. Yam. Who. Ija. Worshipping. Adyayana. Studies of the Vedas. Dhanani. And charity. Pihitani. Prescribed. Dvijanmanam. Of persons who are called twice born. Janma. By birth. Karma. And activities. Avadatanam. Who are purified. Kriya. Activities. Cha. Also. Ashramachoditaha. Recommended for the four ashrams. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those who have been reformed by the Garbhadhana ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods, performed with Vedic mantras and without interruption, and to have been approved by Lord Brahma, are dvijas, or twice born. Such brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, purified by their family traditions and by their behavior, should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give charity. In this system, they should follow the principles of the four ashramas: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. A purport by His Divine Grace. After giving a general list of 30 qualifications for one's behavior, Narada Muni now describes the principles of the four varnas and four ashramas. A human being must be trained in the above-mentioned 30 qualities. Otherwise, he is not even a human being. Then, among such qualified persons, the varnashram process should be introduced. In the varnashram system, the first ceremony for purification is Garbhadana, which is performed with mantras at the time of sex, for propagating a good child. One who uses sex life not for sensual pleasures, but only to beget children according to the reformatory method, is also accepted as a brahmachari. One should not waste semen on sensual pleasure, violating the principles of Vedic life. Restraint in sex, however, is possible, only when the populace is trained in the above-mentioned 30 qualities. Otherwise, it is not possible. Even if one is born in a family of dvijas, or twice born, if they have not followed the formatory process, he is called a dvijabandhu. Not one of the twice born, but a friend of the twice born. The whole purpose of this system is to create good population. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when women are polluted, the populace is Varna Sankara. And when the Varnasankara population increases, the situation of the entire world becomes hellish. Therefore, all the Vedic literatures strongly warn against creating Varnasankara population. When there is a Varnasankara population, the people cannot be properly controlled for peace and prosperity, regardless of great legislative assemblies, parliaments, and similar bodies. Sanskara yatra vichchina sadvijo jogadadayam ijya jayana dhanani bihitani dvijanmanam janma karma vadathanam kriyascha shamachoditaha umagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam jina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manonamo distam stapitam jina bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati sapadantikam mukam karuri vachalam bangam longayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Namasrishtamano Apisati Putram Atrasarupam Rupam Tasyagrajim Urubudim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Kirivadamaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pradita Kripayo Shri Guru Tandatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam. Sadvetam Sadvadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarane Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hantayam Adulabala Haridasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostiyo Yad Paniyasuya Vasakandana Kandamulahai Matsamo Nasti Papatma Napadadi Chakaschana Padi hare pilaj jame kim bruve purushottama yuvatinam tatayuni yunam chayavatayata mano vidabhiti tadvam mano me ramatam twayi bhumau skalita padanam bhumyadeva balambanam twayi jata padadanam Tvam meva sharanam prabho Govinda balabe radhe prartye tvamaham sada Tudiyam iti janatu govindomam tvaya saha Radhe vrindavanadishe karunamrita vahine Kripaya tava padabja Dasyam mayam pradiyatam. Hare Krishna. So we've been hearing about the qualities that make a human being, to make a living being in this world human. And I remember the first time I read this many, many years ago, when it first came out, when these books first came out, we were distributing them far and wide in different places in this country. And whenever a new volume came out, and they were coming out regularly when Prabhupada was, you know, in the fire, we were all in the fire, those of us who were around at that time remember. And we would get that book, and we would just, I mean, I used to fake being sick, like I used to do at school, you know. If I wanted to stay home and do something, I'd fake being sick. So we used to fake being a little under the weather and stay back that day, or 2 days, or however long it took us to read that book, and just read the book straight through without stopping. And then we'd go out that next day with all of this nectar, you know, in our hearts. Remember how it was? That spontaneous enthusiasm that Srila Prabhupada injected into us. That advanced devotional service that we were not really advanced. And I remember reading this and thinking, oh, this is what Prabhupada told us, you know, was devotional service. And actually, these were just the qualities that were supposed to make us a human being. You know, and we were thinking, oh, we'll be really advanced. We're home now. We can follow the regular principles, or we can, you know, be honest, or we can be whatever all the qualities are. We've approached the spiritual masters. Therefore, now, you know, we're home free. And then as time unfolded, and we realize, you know, now it's not so easy. It's not so easy. And in order to actually reach the goal of life, which is far beyond the human principles that are talked about in these previous verses for living a human life on the earth, without those qualifications, you notice, you can't actually organize. We can't organize ourselves according to the principles of the Vedas, unless the persons who are being organized have actually come to the human form of life. And let us just refresh our memories what the human form of life is. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings: truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave, and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King of Yudhishthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then today's verse. Those who have been reformed by the Garbhadhana Sanskara ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods performed with Vedic mantras and without interruption, and who have been approved by Lord Brahma, are dvijas, or twice born. Such brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, purified by their family traditions and by their behavior, should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give in charity. In this system, they should follow the principles of the four ashrams: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. So this is a very profound, these verses are very profound, because they actually explain what the individual qualities of an individual person must be in order to actually follow the rules and regulations of the varnashram. And furthermore, we shouldn't think that the following of the rules of varnashram gets us to the perfection. The perfection is pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma janavritam. You know, perfection of pure devotional service is when we realize who we are in relationship to Krishna and give our service with love and affection purely, spontaneously, without any consideration of the material qualifications or the material circumstances. When our service comes to that level, and in order for it to come to that level, we actually have to realize who we are. We have to know who we are in the spiritual world, personally, individually, in relationship with Krishna. That's the goal of pure devotional service. And this process or this system that's being described here is the system by which, you know, we can come to the human platform so that we can perform our activities in a way that makes our mind and senses purified so that that original affection for Krishna can come out. You know, we're in material bodies, and the material bodies, the consciousness comes out from the material body, gives vent through the different senses. You know, when the body is in the womb of the mother, you know, for the first 6 or 7 months, there's practically no movement, there's no activity, you can't tell that the living being, that's why everyone's so confused. That's why they abort. They're thinking the living being isn't there yet. You know, they're thinking it's created when it starts to move around and do things. And some don't even think it's created until it actually comes out. That the consciousness is not really there. The living being is not really there until it comes out. But those, anyhow, I haven't experienced it myself. My wife experienced it. She told me about it. And other women who have had children know this for sure. That once 6 or 7 months into the pregnancy, the baby's definitely there. They kick and, you know, move around and respond to the diet or the, you know, the moods that you're in and the moods of the people around. And Prabhupada used to say, therefore, you know, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, read Srimad Bhagavatam aloud, you know, to the child in the womb, and then the child will come out devotee, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj heard, you know, through the ears of his mother. Narada Muni took his mother to his ashram and read the Srimad Bhagavatam and instructed her completely. And she couldn't understand very much in the verses that described that pastime. It was clear she wasn't really understanding so much, but Prahlad was hearing in the womb. And therefore he came out, you know, a pure devotee. So it's the hearing of Krishna's pastimes, it's the holy name of the Lord, right, which is actually delivering us. It's not these rules and regulations. The rules and regulations, Rupa Goswami describes, are assistance to the ultimate rule and regulation, which is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But in order to always remember Krishna and never forget him, you have to have an instrument, you know, that's tuned to hear. The hearing has to go through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence, to the soul proper, to wake it up. See? So this is the purpose of the human form of life, and that's why it's very important that we actually read these principles, learn these principles, and behave properly. We have to behave according to these principles. And when we behave according to these principles, then what? Krishna becomes pleased with us. It's not a mechanical process, the process of devotional service. It's not, therefore, when Lord Chaitanya was hearing from Ramananda Roy, when he was inquiring from Ramananda Roy, what is the goal of human life? And the first thing that Ramananda Roy said to him was, you know, following the Varnashram system, the rules and regulations of Varnashram, and offering those results to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya didn't reject it exactly, but he said that's external. You have to go on. It's not that he rejected the Varnashram. He rejected it as the means for attaining the perfection of life. It's required, it's necessary. But it's only a stage of development that can bring our mind and our body to the point of refinement, to be able to actually hear. And what does it mean to actually hear? It means to actually embrace what you hear. It's not that we're just by sitting in the room we're hearing. You know, we have to hear, we have to embrace it, we have to accept it with eagerness and enthusiasm. And that's the soul. The soul is hankering for Krishna consciousness. And the body and the senses in this material world, they're hankering for so many things. You know, therefore, when we're hankering for so many things at the same time trying to be Krishna conscious, we're called mixed devotees, not pure devotees. So what is the difference between a mixed devotee and a pure devotee? The root cause of pure devotional service is pure faith. It means faith that is firm and solid and steady and unwavering and fixed. And exclusive. That is pure faith. And as long as our faith is mixed with desires for our own satisfaction, then we must follow these rules very strictly. We can't think that we can go, you know, immediately to the stage of pure devotional service, spontaneous devotional service, and act, you know, however we want, you know, with Krishna here in this plane, in this external, you know, energy. You know, we don't, even a pujari who has attained perfection, they don't, you know, climb up on the back of the deity because they think they're a cowherd boy now, or, you know, embrace Krishna and kiss the deity because they think they're, you know, a gopi. So, I mean, they do that, they're, you know, condemned. Sahaja. So this idea is extremely important, and it's so important that Krishna in the third chapter of the Gita, he explains it's so important that he does it himself. Nami partasti kut. Trishu lokeshu kincha, nana bhaptam abhaptam, bharta eva chikarmani. He says, you know, I don't have any, na mam karmani limpanti, na me karma palesmiha, iti mam yo vijanati, karma bir na sabhajate. He said, I don't have any interest in this material world. I'm not after the fruits. I don't need anything. I'm completely self-sufficient. He's the controller, the enjoyer, the owner of everything. See? And then he says, yadyada churite shestas tattadeva tadojana siyat ramana kuruti lokas tadanavartate. He said, the people in general, they follow the leaders of human society. So then he says, nami parte sakartavyam trishu lokinchu kinchina nanavaptam abhavyam varte eva chikarmani. So if I don't follow, they will follow me and they will be misled. Utsidirime laka na karmya karmachidaham sankarasya chakartam itimamyam. So this sankara, that's varna sankara, here in the Gita is described, third chapter. Utsidirime, let me read it. so I don't make a mistake. Uchidime lokam. Yeah. I left one verse out. Yadi yaham nabarteyam jatu karmanyatandritaha mama manuvartante manusha partisarvasha. For if I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. What is that saying? If it's good enough for the goose, it's good enough for the gander? Or something like that. Means, you know, if it's good enough for Krishna, it better be good enough for us. So we shouldn't think, oh, now I've attained this state, I'm in the Krishna consciousness movement, I know how to dress, I know how to attend arati, I know how to chant, I know how to do a quote for Krishna, I know how to, therefore, you know, I don't have to be so strict. Here the purport is very nice. He says, in order to keep the balance of social tranquility for progress in spiritual life. See, that's what this is about, these verses, describing the qualities of a human being. If we behave like this, as individuals, if we have these qualities, then when we interact with one another, the atmosphere is nicer. You know, the animals, when they get together, they simply know how to fight. When they get together, they simply fight with one another. Therefore, here, in the verse before, it describes, you know, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, control of the mind, control of the senses, discrimination between right and wrong, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, satisfaction, simplicity. You remember in the 17th chapter of the Gita, there's this three verses which describe the austerities of the body and the mind and the words and the mind. And in, under the verse that describes the austerities of the mind, the first one is satisfaction. It's an austerity. It's an austerity to be satisfied. In the material world, everyone is dissatisfied. That's the nature of the material world. So to be dissatisfied is a great austerity. And unless you are satisfied from within, unless you are actually satisfied, you can't follow this system that Krishna has created. Evam pravartitam chakram. Nanuvartyati haya agayur indriyaramo yogam partha. Means one who is unable to follow this is forced to agayam. Agayam means abominable activities. Forced into abominable activities. So the purpose of the samskaras, the purpose of coming to the point of human life and developing these qualities is that so we can live together and work together and create harmonious atmosphere in which it is easier for us to hear and chant about Krishna. And when we do that together, that is called what? Sankirtan. And that Sankirtan, that is the process that gives us love for Krishna. That is the Yuga Dharma. It's the Sankirtan. So the Varnashram system must be accepted as much as we possibly can. I mean, now we're hearing, you know, it makes us grave, at least it makes me grave, sober, sobers me up to read, this is just human life. And I thought, wow, if I'm doing all this, you know, I'm practically like a pure devotee. No, now you're a human being. Now you can hear and chant about Krishna. Because only by hearing and chanting about Krishna and by, you know, developing the eagerness in that association, developing the eagerness to want to go to Krishna and be with Krishna directly, you know, when that eagerness becomes so intense that tears will come out from our eyes if we don't get it. Nowadays, if we don't get something that we want, the tears come out of our eyes, right? I've been doing this, recording over in Ruchirana and Chai Balaram's house and Chaitanya's, you know, kid growing up. Yeah. Yeah. I'm over there every day for 6-7 hours a day. And I'm, sometimes, I'm not always there, but when I see him, and he doesn't get what he wants, it just comes out, and Prabhupada, even Srila Prabhupada used to say, when he wanted that Rath cart, remember? Prabhupada wanted that Rath cart, he was a little kid, and they, sorry, we can't afford it, and he got down on the ground, and he beat his hands and legs on the ground, and he cried, and he just threw a fit. See, that's what happens in the material world when we don't get what we want. But we're supposed to feel like that towards Krishna and towards the process of pure devotional service to go to the spiritual world. We have to be so eager to do that. And that it's that eagerness that actually enables us in this age to be able to even follow these principles. It seems like it's putting the cart before the horse, and therefore sometimes we become confused, But the reality is that it's very difficult, almost impossible for us to follow all these principles as human beings in this Kali Yuga, the way it's structured and the way the atmosphere is, how it's become. It's very difficult. But we must do it. It's not that we can think that now we've got the Yuga Dharma, we've chanted Hare Krishna, therefore it doesn't make any difference how we treat one another. We can still cry and throw a fit whenever we don't get our own way. This is what cooperation means, it's what partnership means. It means being able to give and being able to receive. It means being able to stand up for the truth and what is right, and to be able to bend and give when we're not right. Because who's always right? Srila Prabhupada used to make a joke about India. He said, in India, everybody studies Bhagavad Gita from the time they're little kids. Therefore, they all think they're gurus. And worse, they all think they're God. Therefore, when you try to actually reason with them sometimes, it's a little difficult because they think they know it all. Not only they think they know it all, they think that, they're the Lord of you, right? So the point is, it's not just because we know the verses or, because we know what time to show up at what activity that we become, that will bring us pure devotional service. No. Pure devotional service comes when Krishna becomes pleased with us. Krishna actually has to choose you. He actually chooses you. He has to agree to manifest himself in your heart. He's there, But he has to agree to come out and show himself. And he does that according to our surrender to him. It's not the surrender to the rule or the regulation or the surrender to this particular person or that particular relationship because we're, in this situation according to the Varnashram. It's not that. It's the surrender to Krishna. Therefore, without surrendering to Krishna, without offering all these things to Krishna, we're not performing the Varnashram. It's something else. It's a mutual agreement in order to get sense gratification together. Unless the goal becomes something else, unless the goal actually becomes love for Krishna, then it remains, less than human. So, in order to keep the balance of social tranquility, for progress in spiritual life, there are traditional family usages meant for every civilized man. Although such rules and regulations are for the conditioned souls and not Lord Krishna, because he descended to establish the principles of religion, he followed the prescribed rules. See how impersonalism creeps in, how subtle it is. Krishna, we're thinking, we're Krishna conscious now, so we don't have to follow so strictly. But Krishna, he's thinking, even though I don't have to follow so strictly, I better, because if I don't, everyone's going to follow me and then they're going to get misled. It's because we're thinking, you know, we're Krishna. Impersonalism means think we're Krishna. Think that we can act like Krishna. But Krishna's teaching us, it's like, but Krishna's saying, even though I am the transcendent Lord, I don't need to do any of this. I do it anyway. Why? Because it'll set an example for others. Therefore, the next verses. Utsideyur ime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sankarasya chikarta syam upahanyamima prajaha. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. And what causes the world to come to ruination? I would be the cause of creating unwanted population. And I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. That means illicit sex. Varnasankara comes about as a result of illicit sex. And it's why Prabhupada emphasized it so much. Because now the trend is just the opposite. And as a result, California is burning to the ground at the moment. You know, something like 1,500 fires all at once. You know, they can barely, you know, put them out. And if you look carefully at Manusamhita and other sections of the Vedas, it'll tell you that accidents by burns, fire, these things are a direct result of illicit sex. And here, Krishna is saying something even more profound. All these worlds would be put to ruination. Why is it put to ruination? Because when you have illicit sex, and the child that comes is not purified, is not, you're not trying to attract a good, you know, evolved soul. And when the world becomes full of those, you know, unqualified souls, then they don't know what's right, they don't know what's wrong, and they act like animals with one another and with the earth, and you can see the result. Now, everyone's talking about it, but they don't know what to do about it, because they can't make the connection. That's why I say it's impersonalism, because they can't make the connection. There's a person behind it, and they need to actually follow the rules and regulations, the laws of nature, to please the Supreme Person. You know, therefore, you know, Krishna sets the example himself. And there he said, then he says, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Varnasankara is unwanted population which disturbs the peace of the general society. In order to check this social disturbance, there are prescribed rules and regulations by which the population can automatically become peaceful and organized for spiritual progress in life. We're organizing ourselves and trying to become peaceful. Why? So that we can advance in spiritual life. Why? Because the goal of the utilization of every resource, including the personal senses we have, is to please Krishna. Without doing that, we're missing the point. When Lord Krishna descends, naturally he deals with such rules and regulations in order to maintain the prestige and necessity of such important performances. See, in the next verse, he said, or let's read the whole purport because it's very, very nice. The Lord is the father of all living entities, and if the living entities are misguided indirectly, the responsibility goes to the Lord. So if you don't behave properly, indirectly, that example will go to your spiritual master and ultimately to the Lord. And therefore, people will not be able to get the right idea. That is the purpose of the Varnashram. Not that it's going to give us the goal. We're doing it for a different reason, as Krishna says in the next verse. Sakta karma yavidvangso yata kurvanti bharata kuryadvidvang tata shaktis chakirshaloka sangraham. He says, as the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. So before you react to somebody in a social circumstance that causes disturbance, think twice. You know, that's why your mother taught you to count to 10, you know, before you, when you're going to get angry and you're going to pop off, say something, do something, you know, that's going to, your mother said, now count to 10. You know, and if you start to count, you know, then if you count long enough, that gradually goes away, if you're fortunate. Otherwise, you know, you say something or do something that causes a disturbance, you become unreasonable. And who can think of Krishna? Who can think of Krishna in an atmosphere like that? There's always permeated by anger and frustration by infighting and all these things. So it's for another purpose. We follow the rules and regulations strictly, but for another purpose, even if we don't have to. Krishna says here, I don't have to. And persons who are actually qualified, who are actually following Krishna and have surrendered him completely, who are fully Krishna conscious, they also don't have to follow the rules so strictly. But they do, to set an example for others. And here in these verses, it's bringing the point that, you know, each one of us is our responsibility. Not that we can look at someone who's not doing it properly and say, and use that as an excuse for us not doing it properly. There's no excuse for us not doing it properly. Following the rules and regulations and behaving with one another, you know, properly. Otherwise, if we don't accept that, then we become unreasonable and we won't be able to hear and we won't be able to correct ourselves. Lord Nityananda instructed Jiva Goswami about this point. He said, if you become too much proud of the strength of your own intelligence, then you become empowered to reject the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, which is the most powerful thing. If you become too much proud of the power of your own intelligence, then you develop the, or you're gifted with the intelligence that is able to reject even the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we shouldn't be proud of our own intelligence, you know, and we should submit to this process. Surrender to Krishna. That's what submission means. Means surrender to Krishna. And ultimately it means to surrender to Krishna, means to think of Krishna within the heart constantly. And we do that, of course, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's so difficult to control the mind in the way that you can meditate, you know, so difficult in Kali Yuga. Therefore, this chanting has been given by Lord Chaitanya as the ultimate benediction, the Mo Mahavaranyaya, Krishna Prem Pradayate. It will give us Krishna Prem. But you must chant purely without offense. So for us, you know, the observation of these rules and regulations in Varnashram, we try as much as we can under the circumstances, so that we can not, so that we can stop making offenses to one another. So that when we chant, we get the full benefit of the chanting. As long as we're not following, then we don't get the full benefit of the chanting. And then after a while, if you're chanting, not following properly, not getting the full benefit of the chanting, then eventually you'll think it doesn't work, and then you'll give it up. Or your intensity for chanting will reduce, and you'll be again lost. This is described, the process is described very clearly by Krishna. Jayato jayato vishyam pongsa, sangas te shupajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodo vijayate, krodad bhavadi samoha, samohat smriti vibhrama, smriti brangshat burinasho, burinashat pranashyati. This is where the term blooped came into existence. Because in the purport, Prabhupada talks about, in the verse it talks about falling again into the material pool. So one devotee, clever devotee, when you throw something into a pool, what does it sound like? Bloop. So they started calling a devotee who went away bloot, because they fell back into the material pool. What happened to me? Bloot. But what is the process? You know, jai to bichang pung sa. It's when one, what's the word? Dwells, when the mind dwells on sense objects and sense gratification. You know, then as your mind dwells on this object of the senses, then one develops attachment for those things, right? And when that attachment comes very strong, your senses are forced to act to try to get those things and try to enjoy those things, whatever it may be. And when you don't get the satisfaction from that, because you can't get the satisfaction from that, because the soul can't be satisfied with sense gratification. The soul cannot be satisfied through the process of sense gratification. Therefore, satisfaction is an austerity of the mind. And in that purport, Prabhupada said, austerity of the mind means to bring it away from the contemplation of the object of the senses. So then what happens? You become frustrated because you're trying to get what you want. You're trying to satisfy the senses through these sense objects that you've been meditating on. And then you become frustrated. And what happens when you become frustrated? Then you get sensitive. You know, it's like when you have a, you know, sore on the body and it hasn't healed yet. But if somebody touches it, like a bruise, it hurts. You become sensitive. Or if something in your own personal life is cause you some trauma, when that comes up, you become sensitive, you know, about that point. So what happens when you're so sensitive? Then when somebody says just the wrong thing, that, you know, you bark, you know. It's like waking up a sleeping dog, you know. They bark because that's the way they are. That's what they do. And then that anger, then you say and do things in anger that you wouldn't normally say and do, and you immediately become bewildered. Krodha bhavati samoha. From that anger comes bewilderment. And then what happens? Samoha smriti bibhrama. Then you forget. Memory becomes bewildered. You forget what's right, what's wrong, and you forget what's good for the other person. You forget, you even love the other person. You just strike out. You know, you lash out. And then, finally, you know, you lose your intelligence altogether, and bloop. Even if you're hanging around, you might as well be bloop, because you're always thinking of sense gratification. So the purpose of all these rules and regulations and all these qualities, human qualities and everything, is to bring us to the point of being able to live together peacefully, so that the mind can think of Krishna. So the mind will be inclined. The heart, the soul, wants to think of Krishna, but it's covered over by all these other things. It's the hearing and the chanting about Krishna. It's the company of Krishna. It's the association of Krishna that is actually changing our hearts. It's actually awakening our love for Krishna. And the other things are meant to be assistant principles, not that they're meant to be the thing, you know. And if it's not, you know, going on, then, no, the thing is Krishna, is Krishna consciousness, is our love for Krishna, and our love for Krishna's devotees. That's how it comes out. That's how it comes out. That's what pleases Krishna the most. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol. Questions, comments, corrections, chastisements? It came up a tie. Yeah, but the Brahman is always going to, it'll never, okay.
Faith is a very tricky word. Some have faith, some do not have faith. It seems that there are divisions of faith. But what is faith as opposed to finally realization? Some people seem to have this type of faith, a stronger faith, no faith. Well, where is the point of realization where faith?
Well, everyone has faith, first of all. Everyone has faith. Everyone. Faith is the basis of everything that we do. You won't take a step forward, Prabhupada said, if you don't have faith that the floor will hold you. If you don't believe that the whole floor will hold you, that the ground will hold you, you won't take a step forward. People who become really strange, they do like that. They'll stand, they'll come in and go. They won't do anything because they've lost faith altogether. And they won't move, they won't speak. It's a catatonic kind of, disease, psychological disease, lack of faith, complete lack of faith. So everyone has faith. The reason everyone has faith is because everyone's a soul. And what that faith ultimately is in the ultimate issue is the consciousness flowing from the soul, which is love for Krishna. The natural affection that we have for Krishna is love. And when that love, which is our original consciousness, is filtered through the material body, depending on the kind of material body it filters through, or the quality of it, then that faith changes. It transforms. So it's a matter of degrees. It's a matter of, uncovering or purifying or eliminating the things we have faith in until we only have faith in Krishna. And of course, there's a spectrum. There's a spectrum. Yeah, realization means when that faith becomes strong enough that it impels us to do the right thing. First stage. And ultimately, when we're doing the right thing and Krishna sees that we're really serious and we really do want him, then he takes notice. And there again, it comes back to that same principle, that personal principle, that it's not a mechanical process. It requires that Krishna acknowledge and reciprocate with us. So when that faith in him, when the faith in, like, that's why the material existence is so difficult. It's Krishna's mercy upon us, because it allows us to not develop full faith in anything or anyone in this world, ultimately. And the more faith we develop in something of this world, to that degree, the less faith we can have in the things of the other world, ultimately Krishna. So it's like like one of these teeter-totters, who's heaviest ends up, on the ground, and who's lightest ends up in the air, So that faith is there, it's always there. It needs to be awakened by keeping ourselves in contact with Krishna. That is the Krishna consciousness movement, to keep ourselves in contact with Krishna constantly. And when we're in that consciousness, then whoever we meet, it naturally will come flowing out. And okay, you don't say the same thing to everybody, but remember how Prabhupada was? Whoever he met, he knew exactly what to say or do to bring them just a step closer to Krishna. It's not that he expected everybody to become, fully Krishna conscious immediately. But he always knew what to say, isn't it? Oh my gosh. What to say, what to do. Those of us who watched him in action, he knew what to say and do so that the person, whoever it was, took a little step closer to Krishna. That means full Krishna consciousness. And it's that compassion, and it's that original consciousness which pleases Krishna so much that he says it in the Gita very clearly. No one becomes more dear to me than he who tries to explain this Bhagavad Gita to others. If you want to please Krishna the most, then preach. And not lord it over other people by beating them over the head with shlokas or chiding them because they're not doing this and not doing that. Not that kind of preaching. But preaching means glorify Krishna. Glorify the holy name. Glorify the process of devotional service. Glorify the devotees. Glorify everything about Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna will be pleased. And when Krishna is pleased with you, how can you not be pleased? You may be in the most, if Krishna is really pleased with you, he may put you in a really difficult situation, like he did the Pandavas. Why? So that everybody can see just how great devotional service is, just how great the devotees are, just how wonderful Krishna is. That his love for him cannot be disturbed by anything. You know, they had everything taken away. You know, exiled into the forest. You know, we're worried about, you know, paying our rent. You know, they were exiled in the forest, and they went from a heavenly palatial situation to in the forest. You know. And, you know, a minute, they were gone. Such difficult situations. But Krishna favored them. And so now we can read about them and just marvel at how wonderful they are. And how wonderful the process of Krishna consciousness is and how wonderful Krishna is. We need to be absorbed in these thoughts, in this mood, you know. Then we become satisfied. Then we can give Krishna to others. And then that atmosphere becomes automatically proper. So it's not that the Krishna consciousness is dependent on the development of these, you know, qualities. Krishna consciousness is independent of everything. And if we become fully Krishna conscious, these qualities will naturally come out in us. Therefore, our attempt, our effort should be first to be fully Krishna conscious. And as we do, as we approach that, as our desire to be Krishna conscious comes more and more, then those qualities will come out, and when we read them, we'll, oh yeah, that's right. And then we'll be able to follow, we'll be able to act properly. Otherwise, it just becomes a remote kind of theoretical, you know, thing. The things that the people in the Bhagavatam do, you know. It's not for me, it's for the people in the Bhagavatam. They can do it, but, you know, we surely can't do it. You know, self-defeating attitude. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, Asha Bandhu, hope against hope. He's got no hope of achieving these things. And yet, what do? He hopes. When he's got no hope, he still hopes. That is pure devotional service. Yes. That's full faith. Yeah, that's realization.
You were citing a Christian statement by Bhagavad Gita about he would be the cause of unwanted progeny.
Yes.
And Arjuna says this also in chapter 1, I believe.
Yes.
If I kill all these people. So I was reading an article just recently about Ethiopia and how their population has increased from something like 70 to 77 million in like 5 years. And in certain areas, each family, the average number of kids is like 7 in a family. And so there are a number of agencies from all over the world that are going in there now trying to teach them about population control, birth control. So some people can say that if they learn birth control, then they reduce the unwanted progeny.
Their idea of birth control is to teach them to wear condoms and to have their sex, but not procreate. And therefore, when they slip up, or when the thing doesn't work, which it never does all the time, they still have their unwanted population. They will have unwanted population no matter how much they teach about birth control. Because, you know, wanted population means when you have, when you perform the act for the purpose, with the desire to have a child, and with all the things that go with it. Therefore, Krishna says, Kamosmi Paratashva, I am sex life, which is according to religious principles. Dharmo vidur bhuteshu, Kamosmi Paratashva. So we're not, you know, against sex. We're against sex just for sensual gratification without any purpose except for, you know, getting a cheap thrill. So unless they teach that, they can't teach them how to not have unwanted population. Okay, stop there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna.